Now thank we all our God is the title of our message for this fourth anniversary Thanksgiving service. The title is chosen, taken from hymn 27, with the same title which our choir and you, the congregation, members, loved ones and friends who are assembled here have sung together. And the text that we have chosen is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in particular the verses 2 and 3, which I read to you. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. In this gathering of God's people, there are those of you who has established a friendship by virtue of the gospel work with us. We have met somewhere, and our friendship in the Lord Jesus Christ has brought you here to rejoice with us, and much more, that we may co-labor in the days ahead, in the years to come, that the work of the gospel may grow on from strength to strength. And for those who are unable to come, those who are sick, there are several of our members who are not well. We want to remember them lovingly in the Lord Jesus Christ. More importantly, we said that there are those who have co-labored with us in seeking the presence of God and the help of God in our Christian journey on earth. That we are not alone, that we have friends who loved us, friends who want to see that we are well, friends whom we have at one time or another, perhaps be of service, be of help. And you have gathered together with us, to rejoice with us. We thank the Lord for this mutual friendship, this mutual encouragement, this kindred spirit in fulfilling the Great Commission, the first commandment that our Lord Jesus Christ gave before his ascension. I send you greetings also from Reverend Dr. To Siang Hua, our pastoral advisor, the man who, by advice, aided us in the establishment of this local church in this vicinity. I counted, Dr. To baptized 10 of our members since the church began and administered the Lord's Supper for the last time on September 2015. He was here with us on our second anniversary Thanksgiving service in January 2016. Praise the Lord for the care of a senior leader of the church who cared for the propagation of the gospel work in helping to strengthen our hands establishing this gospel outreach for the gospel. We thank the Lord for him and pray that the Lord will keep and strengthen him daily. The church in Thessalonica was established by the Apostle Paul when he came to Thessalonica via Philippi. He heard the Macedonian call by night a vision, a man calling him, bidding him to come over to what is called modern day Europe. He went to Philippi. There was no synagogue there. Then from there, he came to Thessalonica, by which this text of scripture, which we are reading, came from. It was there in Thessalonica that he went for 3 Sabbath days, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, reasoning with the Jews there. There was an established community of his own people. Now, the Jews are a special people, and there are those who are here with us who may not know what we are doing here, why we are gathered here like this as a group of people. Well, we are here to be a witness that there is a living God who made the heaven and earth, and who also establishes each one of us in his own image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And this God, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to be sure that you know him. And that is the reason why he established the nation of Israel. Now, if you look into history, you know that the nation of Israel was a special nation. I submit to you that God created this nation. And today you see this nation resurrected after 2,000 years, 14th of May 1948. It's special because it is from this nation that God gave the laws, as summarized by the Ten Commandments, that underlines the constitution for all the nations of the world. If you not already know, this is a God who reached out to men and women who are lost. And through this nation, the nation of Israel, which he has established, would come the foremost son in the fullness of time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would be born 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, if you do not know him, we want to share with you that he is the Son of God, that he came born of the Virgin Mary in the womb without a relationship with another man. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God reaching out to men through men, the man that he sent, conceived of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. And this is the man that came upon earth 2,000 years ago, who is the head of this church, whom we want to honor and glorify today as we come for a Thanksgiving service like this. Because it is him who came upon earth 2,000 years ago and lived a perfect life. In Jesus Christ, his 33 and a half years of life on earth without sin, in order that he may be that man who lived perfectly, who will also die on the cross for on our behalf for sins, shedding his blood, that we sinful men may be brought nigh to God. Jesus Christ, the man whom we want to introduce to you, whom, if you do not already know, died for the sins of men and 3 days later rose again from the dead, victorious over death and sin. And that is the reason why we are here. This is the reason why this church was established. Because Jesus Christ, after he died and rose again from the dead, appeared to his disciples for 40 days on earth before he was ascended to heaven. God entered human history, coming on earth, and after he has accomplished the redemption work for the salvation of our souls, returned to heaven. But before he left, he gave a commission to his disciples that they would bring this saving message, the good news of the gospel, to the ends of the world. And we are the recipients of this good news. This man, the Apostle Paul, was gloriously saved when he was on the road to Damascus. You know, Damascus is a city, ancient city of Syria. We all know the land of Syria and how God appeared to this man called Saul of Tarsus and how he was gloriously saved. Jesus Christ appeared to him and said to him that I am the person whom you are persecuting. He is the Messiah of the Jews. And the Apostle Paul, when he saw that heavenly vision, was changed. He was soundly converted from that day onwards. And from that day onwards, he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God came into him. Now, what is so significant about the Christian church and what God had done in Jesus Christ? Well, in a nutshell, is this: if you have received Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, when you repent of your sins and come to Jesus Christ, when you die, the Bible tells us that you would be saved from the judgment of hellfire, and God will bring you to heaven, absent in the body, present with the Lord. And this is the message of the gospel that was preached by the Apostle Paul when he went to that city in Thessalonica. There was and our text tells us that when in Acts chapter 17, that a church was established. In fact, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 17, this was what Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verses 2 to 4. This was how the church was established in Thessalonica. And this was how also the church was established here when the gospel was preached and there were souls who were saved, come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting the idols whom they worshipped. Acts chapter 17 says, Paul, as verse 2, as his manner was, went in unto them at the synagogue 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. The Bible tells us that there is that Messiah whom God gave through the prophets of Israel that will come to save all mankind. This is that Christ, Jesus. And what happened when Paul preached? Verse 4 tells us, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. You see, there in the synagogue, there were the Greeks who were converted to Judaism. And then when Paul came and preached Christ, they were converted to believe Jesus Christ as a living and true God. They were all gloriously saved. And that was how the church was established there in Thessalonica. It was AD 50, about 2,000 years ago, when this church was established. And after this church was established, when souls were saved, then something happened. The biblical account in Acts chapter 17 tells us that the synagogue leaders were upset because there were losses. Some of the members were lost. And the city officials were upset because some of the wealthy women in the society or in that city were converted to become Christians, and persecution was so great upon the people. And what was the charge that was given against the Apostle Paul and his friends Silas and Timothy? Well, the charge is this: that they worship an alternate emperor. Now, dear friends, we want to submit to you that Jesus Christ is the King of the universe. He is the one that created all things. And He will one day return, and the Bible tells us that He will rule on earth. Today, men try to rule, and it's a disaster. Only in Jesus Christ, only through His grace, by His power, according to His word, that there would be true peace, there would be true joy that is to be established. And God has, through the gospel, enabled the church to be established. And, when it was established, members were saved. The unbelieving Jews, what did they do? Well, with the help of some troublemakers, they managed to start a city riot against the infant church. Do not be surprised, and we are not surprised, when this church began, that there would be oppositions to the gospel, opposition to the work. And we are thankful to God that He has brought us through 4 good years. And we are mindful, right, that we are here on the Lord's mission, and that we are prepared, come what may, that the Lord would help us to continue to declare the gospel from this pulpit. And we thank the Lord that you, as our co-laborers in Christ, in one way or another, support us in prayer with practical help. In one way or another, enable this witness to be established, that this group of people here may be able to meet weekly, and every Wednesday night we may be able to come together to pray. You know, in our prayer list, there are many items, many needs for many saints around us. And we thank God that there are a group of faithful believers who would come week after week to pray, to intercede for the saints. And we thank the Lord for you also, who have, in one way or another, be a part of this gospel partnership, that we may be able to help the people who are around us. And there are 2 thoughts that we want to bring before you from our text. From verse 2, the church before the throne of grace. The church before the throne of grace. You know, it is by the grace and the mercy of God that we are here, that we are not consumed, and we are not taking anything for granted, that we will continue to be here. We trust the Lord to help us, to take care of us day by day, giving us good health and strength by His mercy, that we can serve Him for yet another day. For yet another day, we thank the Lord. For we know not when we will not be able to serve anymore. And so we thank God for every opportunity whereby we can come together to praise our God for His love toward us, for what He has done for us. And so this first thought, the church before the throne of grace, the Apostle Paul wrote, he says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. These were his companions in the gospel work. Silvanus came together with him from Antioch, and Timothy came together, after the second missionary journey from Perea. These 3 men came together in order to serve the Lord, to bring the gospel, was willing to come to this place in Thessalonica. And here the text tells us how there was prayer that was made in thanksgiving to God for the establishment of the church. We give thanks, verse 2 of our text says, to God always for you all. Why is that so? Well, because they saw the grace of God in establishing men and women in the faith. And we are thankful to God that He opened the spiritual eyes of men and women that they may come to the saving grace of God. You know, we are really very powerless. There is no way we can open a heart. If God, by His Spirit, will not help, whatever words that we utter, whatever things that we say, will be to no avail. And therefore, we do this work with fear and trembling, asking that God be merciful, God be gracious to save souls. And oftentimes, these are those whom we care a lot, people whom we are concerned about. And that is why we plead at the throne of grace that God be merciful to save them. And so this was what happened. There were those who cared enough for the souls in Thessalonica to pray for them. And we thank the Lord that many of you are co-laborers with us in prayer. Many of you are co-laborers with us in the work of the gospel, that there is a group of men and women who are here in this locality who seek to follow the Lord, and that they are weak and that they cannot carry on without help, alone. And we are very heartened to see so many of you here who cared enough to want to extend your fellowship, right hand of fellowship with us, to come together for us here on this fourth anniversary. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And it's interesting that the word making, right, the prayer of that is mentioned here is a personal prayer. You know, prayer cannot be by proxy. You cannot, prayer has to be done personally. Each one of us who have been saved are a priest before God. We have been given that privilege to come before the throne of grace through Jesus Christ to call to the Father in heaven for help. And this is what God had done, right, through this man, Paul. You see, Paul, after he established the church there in Thessalonica, when souls were saved, persecution came, and he had to run for his life. It was difficult, and he went, 50 miles to another city called Berea. And after he left and he went to Berea, what happened? Well, the Jews who were there, who were in Thessalonica, came and pursued after him. So he had a terrible time, but he was concerned about the believers who were saved, those who have come to the knowledge of God. You see, when they couldn't take hold of Paul, they actually persecuted a man who was converted called Jason. He was persecuted, and among many who were saved there in that city, they had a hard time. And so when the Apostle Paul left, well, he, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, tells us that he sent Timothy back again to the church in Thessalonica in order to see to the well-being of the people in the church there. And we thank the Lord. Many of you were here with us for our first anniversary, for our second anniversary, for our third anniversary, and are here with us on our fourth anniversary. We thank the Lord for your coming, for your co-laboring in the gospel. The church before the throne of grace, we realize that we have no power, we have no strength. And every time, you know, we have to do some spiritual endeavor, oftentimes you would receive call from us saying, please pray for us. I think some of you who have received calls from us would know. Please pray for us. Pray because we need God's help. And if God will not help, we'll be in trouble. And there are those who cared enough to pray for us. And that's where we find, you know, supernatural strength. Strength that God gives in answer to prayer. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. That's the first thought in verse 2. And verse 3, the church persevering in her witness. The church persevering in her witness. The church before the throne of grace, verse 2, and the church persevering in her witness. You know, after you come to become a Christian, you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is only the beginning of that journey. And we face oftentimes many trials, many temptations in this Christian journey, and we face oftentimes many challenges, right, to continue, to carry on, to walk with God. And this, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he commended the church in Thessalonica, verse 3 of our text says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. They remembered, there were those who prayed without ceasing. And that's the emphasis there. There is a group of saints who were praying and who were upholding the infant church in Thessalonica. We are an infant church. We are just 4 years old. And, you know, we are barely, we said barely, you know, if you have a young baby, 4 years old, probably you have learned to walk. But you have not learned, you are still young. You still need much care and nurturing. Well, we said that we are still a young church. And we need many of your prayers, that you would remember us, that God would help us, that we may be established in the years to come, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. What is this work of faith? Well, when you begin life as a Christian, we all begin with faith, believing in the Word of God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the all in life. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. Without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. And this is the beginning of that faith, that journey of clinging on to Jesus Christ for your life. That's the beginning of life. And that's when we learn how to live this Christian life with the Lord before us. All the time to live this life trusting in Him, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of us through our Christian journey until we arrive home in heaven. So that work of faith that was begun, and we may say that sometimes and oftentimes our faith is weak. But the church in Thessalonica was commended by the Apostle Paul for holding on to their faith even amidst persecution, amidst difficulty. Now, we all know and we have communicated. Right? For those who were saved in the last 4 years in the church, how each one struggled to continue to live this Christian faith, live out this Christian life. Right? And that work, right, that we do continue that journey to hold Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to follow His commandments, His teachings, and to live for Him. Well, that is the work of faith that began and labor of love. Well, when we begin life with God, we begin with faith. And when we trust God, well, God gives to us the ability to be blessed, to be nourished by Him. You know, when we are blessed and we are nourished in Jesus Christ, that blessing that we receive from God, that strength, that peace, that joy, that wisdom to run life, to live life that God gives to us, enable us to, by His grace, share a little bit of what God had done for us to the people around us. Right? We are willing to sacrifice a little bit of our time to help others who may be in need, a labor of love. And this we do. And we realize that we are weak. Right? We don't do all these things perfectly. But God did not demand that we would be perfect, but He would demand that we would persevere. And that's the gist of this verse here in verse 3. The church in Thessalonica was persevering. They know, well, they have many weaknesses, but they are willing to carry on. They are willing to extend, to share this love that they have received from God to the people around them. And, you know, we said it's interesting that our church here in this locality is built in the shape of the ark. What does it remind you of, the ark? Well, it reminds you of Noah's flood, that God judged the world by a global flood. Right, when men turn against Him, turn against God. Right? The Bible says that their hearts and minds were evil continually. And there was a time when God judged the world by the flood. But God is going to judge the world again, this time by fire. And the only way out is up. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who saved us, is going to return to receive His church to glory. And we are waiting for that time. That's the patience of hope that the church in Thessalonica were asked to hold on to. The Lord is coming again, and He will receive His church. You know, one of the things that happened over the last few years is that there are several of our members who have gone home to be with the Lord. Last year, we had one lady who was here with us, and about 6 or 7 months together, and after celebrating her 80th birthday, the Lord took her home. During that time, we had the opportunity to be together, to pray, to strengthen her hands in the faith, so that when she would take that last breath, it was difficult because she was not having a whole of her faculties anymore. And in those last weeks, they were difficult times. And what happened? Well, we prayed that the Lord would keep her, would strengthen her, and we gave to her the hope of the resurrection. That when Jesus Christ returns, all who die in Christ, God is going to make for us a new body. You know, this body that we have, we all realize that, you know, it's aches and pains. And this body is going to deteriorate and we are going to lose it. But in Jesus Christ, when He returns, He's going to create and remake for us a new body. You will have no loss in Jesus Christ. And that is the hope that we gave to those who have gone before us. And this was the same message that the Apostle Paul preached 2,000 years ago. Why has Jesus not returned? Because He is long-suffering. Souls are still chosen and yet to be saved. There is a work for us to do that God would want us to do, to go out and bring these souls before the time, you know, when Noah was asked by God to shut the door of the ark. That was it. The rain started to come. When the judgment would come, that's it. And for us, you know, when we do not know Jesus Christ, the last thing, when we take our last breath, right, the Bible tells us that it's judgment. And therefore, well, here in this anniversary, the greatest rejoicing is that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to come and receive Him today. A day is coming when God would judge the world, and this judgment will come. When this judgment will come, right, there is no more time. But while we have the time, the church in Thessalonica was encouraged to continue to be a witness for the Lord. In our text, it said that the church were examples to the believers from all over, to all over the land. Well, we dare not say the kind of impact that we have here as the church in Thessalonica. But we say that with whatever strength that we have, with our whatever little strength that God gives to us, that we be encouraged to persevere in the gospel work. And this is what we want to bring for us in the second thought: the church persevering in her weakness, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Whatever we do here for the Lord sees, and He's bringing His reward for every faithful servant of His when He comes again. And for those of you who come here, who comes to encourage us, well, we ask that you continue to remember this young church in your prayers. Continue to remember this group of believers here at Blessed Hope BP Church. And continue to that we here may persevere with the gospel work, to continue to be a witness for the Lord. We have a new year ahead of us. And great, well, we said, while we have life, God give us life and strength, let us do something for the Lord. So next Lord's Day, we are going to begin outreach in the morning, 10 to 11, 1 hour in Mandarin. And we ask that if you have friends, loved ones who are still outside God's kingdom, to let us know. We may bring them, we may share with them, that God may do something. We said that if we don't do anything, then there is nothing. But if God would impress upon us, we, you see, what happened was that we thought that all the rooms here were already all filled up, full. And lo and behold, we realized that, hey, on the second floor, there is a room that is empty in the morning. And therefore, the encouragement that was given, that why don't we do something for the Lord with the time that we have? So may the Lord help us as we close, that the Lord may encourage this group of His saints to continue to intercede before the throne of grace for this group of God's people here, and that the church here at Blessed Hope may continue to persevere in her witness for the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for this fourth anniversary Thanksgiving service. We thank Thee for the witness of the church throughout the ages, because the Spirit of God worked in the hearts of men through the gospel to save souls out of darkness into Thy kingdom. Father, we realize that there are still many souls that are in this vicinity that are still unreached. May Thou be gracious to help us to do this work for Thy own honor and glory. May Thou energize Thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us